Well, it's good to have Roger and Marcy with us. Thanks so much for being here. They're doing their whole traveling this time, doing every trip on standby. It's living, walking by faith, flying by faith. And it's worked out so far, right? Been an adventure? Amen. Amen. So they're describing some of that to us yesterday. And so we're excited. Roger, please come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart, brother.
Thank you, brother. Is it till about 12?
Yeah.
All right, up there. Well, it's great to be back. We always have a great time in this church, and we're here to say God is faithful. And we were just honored at our mission for 35 years of service. It's actually 37, but they have a special award that they give at 35 years. So when you come at 35 or soon after that, they give that award. And really, we don't, you know, you talk about our faithfulness, but we look at God's faithfulness. We look at the fact that He's used churches like this one. And, you know, when the pastor was mentioning that you've been able to support us all these years, it means a lot to us. We started out, at one point, we had 22 supporting churches. We've managed to get down to 14. But the interesting thing is that our support has always stayed. We've always gotten it up before we go back. And I could give stories of that, and it's like relatives of ours. We have three generations, an aunt of mine, her children, and her children, and her grandkids have started supporting us. And it's not, we've never gone to an individual say, please support us or anything like that, but God has always been faithful in bringing it in and using churches like this one. And it's always been refreshing to be here at Temple Baptist, and I remember that we were some of the first missionaries, and it really touched my heart that a church would have that vision to say, we're getting started here and we need to take on missions. And that's a step of faith, and God has honored it, and it's always exciting to see what He's done here and get in a little bit on what God has done here in Richland. And it's just like I say, it's a blessing to say God is faithful and God has used you folks. And we want to make sure, because I don't know how many will be back tonight, but to say we appreciate you folks. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate the fact you're interested in what we're doing. Our next church plant, the church plant we're involved in, this church has financially helped on two occasions, I believe it is, to help us get a building going there. And so we just appreciate everything and the prayers and all that you folks have been doing through the years. And we just love you and want to be able to express that in the short time that we're here. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, a very well-known passage. In fact, it's right after the warrior passage about taking on the armor of the Lord. But it's in verse 18 I want to pick up the text here. The Apostle Paul emphasizes something that I feel is a privilege of ours. And many times it's a privilege we don't really take as seriously and value as much as we should. Maybe you're an exception in this, and hopefully today will encourage you in this theme. But if it doesn't, I just pray that God will break our hearts and help us in this important subject. So let's look at Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, if you would. I'll be reading these verses for our text this morning. The Word of God says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You probably got the theme because it's repeated a lot in there, but it's the privilege of prayer. And I want to say right off that prayer is a privilege, and it's a wonderful privilege. And I want to talk about that this morning. But let's once again ask God to intervene and be with us in this brief time that we have together. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it ministers to us, and we thank you that the walk with you as was sung here is daily, and that we might be involved in that and interacting with you and using this wonderful blessing that we have, which is prayer. And I pray today that you would help me to stand behind the cross of Christ and behind the promises, and to ask you to speak to lives this morning. And we will praise you for it in Christ's wonderful name that we pray. Amen. Now, we've only been back a little bit, so I've only preached in English a couple of times. So if I kind of pause a few times, I'm probably thinking in Portuguese and trying to make that translation in my mind. You know, missionaries preach way more than they do in English. They preach in the native language. And Marcy and I have another advantage, but it could be a disadvantage in these moments in growing up on the field. I went to Brazil when I was 3 years old, and she went when she was seven. So Portuguese is a part of our, has been a part of our lives all this time. And then ministering in the Portuguese language brings on some of these challenges to translate things. And sometimes a term comes a little quicker in Portuguese, so you might bear with us if that happens. But the key theme is prayer, and prayer is a privilege. And I, like I say, some of you may be sold on prayer, maybe prayer warriors, and maybe you say, well, I've already arrived. If you think you've arrived, probably you need to repent, because it's just the theme that fascinates me. It encourages me. And last time when we were here reporting, we were at a low time in Brazil. We had come through some struggles, and we asked for you to pray about that. And the Lord had done some, you know how the vase is kind of in the potter's hand, and he kind of crumbles it down and starts over in some areas. Well, a lot of our best laid plans weren't working. The church had begun to go downhill. We were soul searching whether it was a time to transition out of there. And we asked you folks to pray, but we were confident. And God had answered that prayer that we were not to jump ship, because that's kind of one thing that came to my mind is, you know, if you jump ship when it's kind of going down, that's not good. The captain kind of stays on, doesn't he? So we were in a position to say, no, we've got some dreams. We'd like to see this church plant a daughter church. And the Lord gave us peace to stay on. And one of the things we had been committed in Brazil was to not leave a church too soon. And, of course, that's the question you have is when is too soon, when is too long? Well, the Lord gave us encouragement to stay on through prayer. And we all agree in prayer in theory and theology, but I'm saying that practicing it and seeing God's answer in that particular area that I'm giving you one example has been wonderful. Has been wonderful to see God bring us to a point where now we're talking transition in the ministry there. Where the church is starting a daughter church, so some dreams are being fulfilled, and to be able to say, you know, we can't take glory for this. It's God. We can do our part in praying and seeing it happen. So it's one thing to believe in theory, well, prayer works, and it's another to say, hey, it's happening all around us. And so we're excited to say tonight that, to report a little bit, last year the church grew 20%, and this year it's already grown 20% in 6 months. And we're kind of on our way out, and we're saying, what's happening here, Lord? There's a lot to do here. But God has honored some of the transitions that are already happening. And I believe that one of the things that we took to the church there was the need for the church to pray. So when I talk about translating, this is a sermon they've heard there. And they've heard me preach various times and talk about prayer. And we insisted in prayer meeting, and it was a dying phenomenon in a lot of churches in Brazil, and I don't know, back here it seems to happen too, but we kept insisting that a praying church is an important quality. So we hung in there when we had very few people coming out to prayer meeting. And now I'm here to say that, praise God, prayer meeting is one of the exciting services of the week at Koinonia Baptist. And so it's been exciting to be a part. I believe prayer should be a priority in God's house, in our lives. The temple was even called a house of prayer. Someone pointed out it wasn't called the house of preaching, as much as us preachers would like to believe that. But the temple was called the house of prayer. And prayer really is the base for all the other. You know, it's important to preach. The word is important. Ministry is important. But prayer is very, very important. And our God is a provider. He's a protector. He's a forgiver. He's a friend. He's a comforter. He doesn't necessarily commit to our projects and plans, does he? Sometimes he works us over in that. But prayer becomes an integral part of what he's doing. He guides us. He directs us through his word. But prayer is very important. It's a very important weapon. Like we mentioned, after the spiritual warfare, put on the armor of Christ, of God. He says, put on, in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if you don't think we're in spiritual warfare, that's another thing to wake up about. And a lot of things that happen, a lot of things that come that seem to hit us broadside are simply spiritual warfare. And God expects us to take his word, to be aware of his principles, his commands, and then to put it into practice through prayer and see God come to bat for us in many ways. In verse 18, then, it says the word comes up praying. It says all prayers. He uses the word supplication. Then he says supplication for all saints. Very interesting the text here how it's so important. So I want to say, first of all, that prayer promotes fellowship. Prayer promotes fellowship. And that's a wonderful thing. We pray, and when it's said for all saints, that's a wonderful part of the ministry of prayer, is for you to be able to pray for one another, for us to be able to pray. I think daily I get messages from Brazil saying, pray about this, pray about that. We had in 1 week, we had 3 people die when we were back here, relate in the church and related to the church family. So you imagine the prayer requests. We have a man today that went into the hospital, a man who we're praying for years for that man's salvation. And if you want to take a prayer right now, you can pray for Moraes. He's got health issues, but his whole family, and we've been praying for his salvation. And it's very important, and it might be serious, we don't know, but he's apparently in the hospital as we're speaking. Prayer promotes fellowship, fellowship with God, first of all. And that's the part that I believe we take for granted. We have a personal God who says, I want to talk to you, and I want you to talk to me. And we give that excuse. Well, he already knows what I need. Yeah, but he wants to hear it. Can you imagine if your kids or your grandkids never talk to you? And so, well, grandma and grandpa know what I want, or my kids, my parents know, but they want to hear us. And God is a relational God. The temple veil was torn. That should get a hold of us. And we have access in a very special way to the intimacy of God, and be able to bring our prayers before the throne. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, it gives a little picture of a whole lot of things, but there's a part there I don't want you to miss. Revelation 5, 7 and 8. It said, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Here in Revelation, at the end times, look at the precious thing that's mentioned here. The prayers of the saints are something that God loves. It's a sweet savor, as other passages say. The prayers of the saint. There's songs about tears in a bottle and all, but our prayers are somehow there in heaven, and God values them in a very special way. And have an intimacy with God, having access to God. It reminds me of a picture maybe some of you have seen through the years. Back in when President Kennedy, now you have to go back a long ways, because when he was assassinated, I was a kid, but I remember seeing a picture of in President Kennedy's, in I believe it was the Oval Office, there's all these dignitaries there and everything, and they're having some kind of meeting, and under the desk was, I believe it was John Kennedy, playing, a little kid on the floor. And you're going, what is he doing? The photographer got that. And it's interesting because, see, you imagine what it would take for you and I to get in that office, all the red tape and everything. And here's the president's son, of course, you'd say, you know. But that's basically what God is doing with us. He's given us direct access. You might think, well, God is so busy. He's got so many things to worry about, worry in the sense that we do. He's got so many things to care for. I'm not going to bother him with my little requests. Well, God wants that, and he cares about that. And prayer promotes and motivates that fellowship with God, the daily walk. He talks about praying in the Spirit. So that's the fellowship, our spirit, with the Spirit of God. That's wonderful. The Samaritan woman, had asked Christ, didn't she, where should we worship? And she was all caught up with locations. And Jesus said that there would be a day when we would worship in spirit and truth and in spirit. So it's not about a location. It's about a relationship. And then prayer promotes fellowship with God, but also with people. Can you imagine if we just came and gathered weekly and we never got to know anyone at church? Well, it's just an obvious thing when I got in, we got in this church, how people just love each other. Pastor, you got something good going on here. But people care about each other. They love each other. And we've sensed that every time we're here. And I would guarantee that you are praying one for another. But I'm here to encourage you, keep that up and don't take it lightly. And when someone says, pray for me, and you say, I will, that's a commitment. So at least do it then. I've kind of do that, and then I say, Lord, help me to remember this later, and then I get it on my list, because you don't want to interrupt a conversation and say, well, let me get it. I mean, you can at times. And I was known in our church there for carrying paper and a pen, and when they said it, I kind of, as a pastor, you can do that. But not all the relationships you're going to be pulling out and writing down something. But our fellowship with other believers, it promotes it, it encourages. It's a context where you open your life to other people. You become vulnerable in a good sense, because have you ever noticed that the people that love you the most are the ones that know you the best? And sometimes we're afraid to let down the barriers and be vulnerable. In Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it's one of my favorite passages on prayer, and you almost miss it because Paul, Colossians 1, 9 and 10, he gives a really practical way of how we can pray for one another. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The part that I wanted to emphasize is that he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the best prayer you can pray for the other person. Because you may say, God, so-and-so is in the hospital. Get him out of there now. Well, that might not be God's perfect will. You know, you hate to say it that way, but God works in wonderful and mysterious ways. And he uses tragedies and difficult times to do much more. So the best thing you can pray in any situation is, God, help that person that I love to be filled with the knowledge of your will in the trial they're going through. And it can be trials of the difficult time, and it can be prosperity as well, because sometimes people don't know how to handle success, and that could be a trial too. So you say, God, help so-and-so who just got the biggest promotion of the year and all these things to be filled with the knowledge of your will in that situation. Well, prayer not only gives that idea of promotes fellowship, but it also, or fellowship with God and with our peers, but it also gives guidance. And if you'll see that in verse 19 again. Paul really was a guy who many times in the scripture asked for prayer. And we look at him as a champion missionary. I mean, every missionary alive says Paul's our hero, you know. But he's depended on prayer, and he talked about it all the time. And verse 19, he's continuing that idea that we pray all the time and everything, and said, and for me. So he's implying prayer there. He's showing that he's giving a personal prayer request, that utterance may be given unto me. I'm back in Ephesians 4, I mean 6, sorry. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he was praying. He said, you have to pray for all people in all times. And here, pray for me, he says. And he prays very specifically for guidance. And you'd think, well, Paul must have had just this assurance always what he's going to do. But he depended on prayer. And we see some examples in the book of Acts where he wanted to do one thing and God closed the door. He wanted to do another thing and God closed the door. And it could have been frustrating except for the fact that I believe Paul looked at ministry as an adventure. And kind of like this flying standby, Pastor, it is an adventure. I've got to say, it's a stretching learning curve for me, but God is honored, and you know, I just don't want to make the call someday and say, Pastor, I can't make the meeting, you know. And so we're working on some of those kind of things. But we need guidance, don't we? And we have examples of people that have missed flights, you know, and God had a plan in that. So we have to have our hearts constantly realizing and reminded that prayer, without prayer, I'm going to use a Brazilian expression here. I'm putting it in the prayer thing, but you'll understand it. They said, without prayer, at best, we are like blind men caught in crossfire. They use the blind men caught in crossfire in a lot of situations. So, well, that guy's like a blind man in a crossfire. He has no clue. You know, shots are going around, and he's blind. He doesn't know what's going on. But without prayer, I'd say, at best, we are like blind men caught in crossfire. And so much could be, and one of my fears is that we look at things organizationally, we plan things, and we make things happen, and so much of it can be human effort. And as leaders, as missionaries, as pastors, as lay people, I'm sure that you have this experience too, but isn't it so important to say, you know, God really guided that decision? And someone has said, and I agree, that God gets blamed for a lot of crazy things. People say, God led me to do this and that. That's a difficult, or something we ought to use with a lot of care. And God does guide. But are we listening? Are we in tune? And prayer is foundational for that. I just can't say it enough. And I've had some interesting experiences where, you know, people will talk about hearing a voice. I've never heard an audible voice, and that's not the important thing to me. But when the guidance comes and you say, you know, God is honoring my request, maybe my pleading, maybe my praying, maybe my crying out to him. There's been situations on the mission field that I've said, God, this is your problem, and please figure it out, or help us figure it out. And it's kind of like, it sounds irresponsible to say, you know, I'm kind of saying it's your problem, God, but it really is. Because at times, if he's led us this far and we come up to barriers and we're just pretty sure he wants us over here, and there's barriers and problems and difficulties, say, well, God, I'm doing what I know, and it's in your hands. And it's so important to, when God gives the answer, to be in prayer and to be able to recognize what is happening. And we need it always. And Paul uses it in verse 18, praying always. So all occasions. It reminds me of Christ when he was in Gethsemane. Remember? If we depend on prayer, imagine him before important events. And in Mark chapter 14, I'm just going to read the verses 35 to 38. Mark 14, 35 to 38 says, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but that what thou will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. If the Lord depended on prayer in his earthly walk here in the world, imagine, do you think we need it? And then you could say, well, he gave the model here. Well, he was given a model to people that were kind of difficult, because you saw his response to Peter. Peter couldn't stay awake for that prayer meeting. And we've all been there and done that. Do I hear any confessions? No, probably not. But wow, we need it for guidance, and we need it for that fellowship with God. And I want to say right here that, and I wanted to say it earlier, but I want to make sure I say it. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yet, you know, it starts there, and it starts through prayer, because it starts with the recognition that I'm a sinner, that I'm lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I take the gospel and I understand why Jesus died, that he died to pay for my sins, something I couldn't even do, and I'm doomed Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then to say, Christ, I declare you as my Lord and Savior. Would you please save me? Would you enter my life now? And I never get tired of hearing people pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And today could be the day. Maybe you've just been kind of shopping spirituality. So I'm going to check it out over in this church or that. Or maybe you're someone that people have prayed for years. And you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You can do that today. It'd be wonderful. Well, prayer gives guidance, but it opens the door for proclamation. And I know this church is interested in winning people to the Lord, and you're growing. But you know, again, the basis is prayer. Paul requests twice in these verses that we read for boldness in his speech. And he repeats it in verse 19. He says, and pray, and for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Actually, it was verse 19 and then repeated in 20 that Paul asked for boldness to speak. You know, we've been doing some of the same things for 35 years. It could sound boring, you know. You witness, you disciple, you mentor, you start a church, but it never gets old because you're dealing with people. You're dealing with different situations. We had a wonderful experience on January 31st of this year. After praying for 9 years or 11 years for our son's in-laws, our son Michael married a Brazilian girl. Our daughters married Brazilian men, and we were just so delighted. They all love the Lord, and they're all serving the Lord. Well, Anne's parents, she was the only one saved in her family for all these years. And they've been coming to church off and on, the mother especially. And on January 31st, after 11 years of prayer, she received the Lord as her personal Savior. And that was one of the highlights. Like I said, we came back kind of flying high, but to see family. And then we find out she told her husband, and he used a phrase I can't hardly translate into English, but it's kind of like, well, now I'm in trouble. And he doesn't know what kind of big trouble he's in, right? Because the prayers of the saints. And I shared this at the mission because the whole family had come back for our little grandson's second birthday. Well, this is Brazilian great-grandma, the grandparents, an aunt, and her fiancé were all in Florida. And I was in the mission saying, we're going back, and we're going to have family time, so pray for us. And I got 3 minutes, all this family time and everything, and I was sitting on the porch, and I got to talk again to Laceda, her daddy. I got to talk for the first time, actually very clearly, to the fiancé, and again, well, I guess her sister wasn't in that particular conversation. But I got the two men, and then the great-grandma was sitting over here, and I didn't really realize she was listening in too. But they were talking about why bad things happen to good people. And I said, here's our chance. I said, you know, it's really we ought to ask the question the other way around. And I'm talking to a lawyer. This fiancé is a lawyer, a sharp fella. And I said, you know, why do good things happen to bad people? Because you know we're all bad. If it weren't for the grace of God, and then I just went into the gospel and what Jesus did for us, and then it's by faith. And I said it's not by works. And I gave it my shot. But again, it's the prayers of the saints. And then it was over. I'd like to say they bowed and received the Lord. I don't know how long it'll take, but they'll get there, and they're being cornered. But the grandma piped up, and that's when I realized she was there. He says, well, when I do something good, I don't like to toot my own horn. I said, well, Grandma, that's good. She was listening to the works part of it. She's 90 years old. So pray for her, too, that she'll come to know the Lord. It never gets old, folks. It never gets old. And we need to pray for opportunities. You know what happens when you pray for opportunities? Pastor knows this. I think many of you do. Because God just opens those. And then you've got to say, hey, it's up to me. And God's answering this and orchestrating for this moment to happen. I had an opportunity recently for one of the mothers of some of the fine young people in our church. She's part of another church, but the Lord has ministered in the other generation in our church there in Koinonia. And she'd asked me to pray for her husband, who's unsaved. And I've been praying for him for years. And she visited the service recently there to visit her kids. And one of her kids was in town. He lives in São Paulo, Brazil now. And he was visiting the church that he had kind of grown up in and seeing his mom and all that together. And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to say to Fatima, I'm still praying. I'm still praying for your husband and your family. And it's just wonderful to see how God can answer. It's good to have a list. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't say thou shalt have a prayer list, okay? But if you're like me and you forget, I think we need a prayer list, you know. And I've got some neat things that have happened. Because I had a list of those impossible things. And the other day, I noticed that two of those really impossible things were already being answered. And I even put on there, halfway there, God, you know. And boy, that's a celebration. But I trust this morning that you would value, if you don't value prayer in practice, or that if you do, that you'll value it more, because it's, I believe that praying without ceasing, there's two ideas that I believe. It's we should never give up on prayer, so we pray without ceasing. That's one of the interpretations. But I believe also it's that idea that we, more and more, we bathe what we're doing in prayer. And it's not that, oh, I'm going to bow my head right now and will y'all excuse me. It's when you're up against a difficult situation, you're praying. It's those telegram prayers. We used to call them telegram. People don't know what that is anymore. Some of you do, right? But it's that right then and there, say, God, help me. God, give me the answer. God, bless this person that just asked for prayer. God, open the door. And it's, and even in decisions and the small, minute things of life, I believe prayer is a declaration of dependence. And I started using that because we're so independent in America. We have our declaration of independence. And we can just do everything and all, and we need to be more dependent. But it's dependent on prayer. And Paul says to pray in all occasions, and he brings that up. And I just thank God for prayer. And I hope that today it's been a reminder of our dependency on God. Prayer reminds me of God's sovereignty. It reminds me of his authority. And it reminds me of who has the last word. Isn't that the way it is? So hopefully God will have the last word in your life this morning as you look to him. And that he'll increase and bless the efforts and prayers of his saints. May God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Two missionaries over the last 2 weeks, and both of them, there's some themes that come out. Did you hear both of them say that there were times when they thought maybe this isn't what I should be doing or getting kind of discouraged? And that's just a great call for us to remember to pray for them, that their lives are just like ours, just in a different place. And that just like you and I might be tempted to be discouraged, they are too. And also, I've heard over the themes here that God is faithful everywhere. God is faithful everywhere. And I think that we miss an opportunity for intimacy with God when we don't pray. We really do. I mean, I can't imagine going on a drive with my wife for the day and having no conversation unless I needed something from her. You know, we rejoice in just the fellowship of sharing in life and thoughts and ideas and the what-ifs of the future. And God wants that relationship with us, where we're just talking to him. We're thanking him for everything. Caleb was telling me about he went golfing and he got paired up with a young man and his dad. And the dad was driving, but Caleb was walking with this young man. And just this Saturday, right? Or was it Friday? They're having good conversation, and as they got to the close of the round, Caleb asked, "Well, is there anything I can pray for you for?" Well, that young man is—I worked with his dad at the police department for many years. He's a Mormon, and his young man's a Mormon, getting ready to go on a mission. And here, Caleb had this opportunity to walk around the whole time, and how did he close that conversation with, "How can I pray for you?" There's probably nothing we can do more for someone than to go to the Lord on their behalf, and ask that God would just bring about His perfect will in their life. So thank you so much for the reminder. we definitely need to be a praying church, praying for each other, praying for our families, praying for the lost ones. You know, in the Old Testament, they would erect monuments to remind people what God had done. When they crossed the River Jordan, Joshua said, be sure you take someone from each tribe takes a stone, and on the far side, plant that stone, then bring your people back and say, God did this. Keeping track of our prayers is so important because we don't give God credit for all the things he's done. And he has been faithful over and over and over and over and over again. And God answers our prayer, and the stress is gone, and the relief is there, and we're on to the next thing. Let's keep track. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Because God is faithful. We're praying for Shelly's mom. I've known Shelly's mom for 37 years. She's not saved yet, but God wants her saved. It's God's will that none should perish. If it's his will none should perish, then we got to keep praying. It's tempting to go, well, you know, she's pretty hard-hearted about this. God is a faithful God. Don't give up. God does the impossible all the time. Because for him, nothing is impossible. He doesn't have an impossible list. We just need to go to him and pray. Amen? Thank you so much. 621. Let's turn there together, please. 621. Staying with the theme of being near the heart of God. I think prayer is like entering into a throne. Let's all stand together, please, as we sing this. I love what the Bible says about calls us to come boldly into the throne of grace. Man, just God saying, come to the throne. Come in. Talk to me. Access to the King has been made freely open because of Jesus Christ. And let's make sure we do that. Near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where kin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God.
You know, I just had a thought. When I was a very young child, really little, when my grandpa and grandma lived out on this farm, and they would pick up the phone and their neighbors could be on the line. Anybody ever remember that, the party line thing? And so you'd pick it up and there was somebody already talking. You'd have to wait till they, oh, sorry, Liz, I'll go after you and things like that. And I got to think, you know, prayer to God is not a party line. You got to go right to him. Nothing in between. Satan can't stop your prayer. Nothing can stop your prayer. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that includes our access as Christians. If you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, you have access with boldness to the throne of God. And it's not a party line where people can interrupt and stop it and confuse it. Pour your heart out to him. Let's sing stanza 3. We get to the chorus, we'll just do it a cappella. Stanza 3.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, bless Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God.
Amen. I'm reminded the Bible says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be people. But at all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And it's he who is at the right hand of the Father who is our high priest. Oh, our mediator. What a privilege we have. Prayer is so important. I hope tonight that you come back and who's been to Brazil? Raise your hand if you've been to Brazil. Nobody besides you two. So tonight you can, they're taking a trip to Brazil tonight, right? Oh, we have somebody. Wait. One person's been to Brazil. So you still need to come back though, TJ. Come back and we'll go to Brazil together tonight and we'll see what these folks have been laboring where God's called them to spend their lives and get to see some of the fruit of their lives. That's a beautiful blessing too. Let's close in prayer. God, I want to thank you so much, Lord. Please forgive us for not praying enough. And please forgive us for only praying when we need. God, let us worship you in prayer. Let us praise you in prayer. God, let us pour out our hearts to you in prayer. Let us honor and lift up your holy name in prayer. And God, let us remember all the answers to the prayers. Give you the glory and the praise now in Christ's name. Amen.